welcome to Silo Busting. I'm your host, Glenn Gruber, an innovation strategist at EPAM Continuum. The cloud. We're more than a decade into our journey, and while a lot of progress has been made, there's still a long way to go. The good news is that the conversations about the cloud have evolved. We've moved past discussions about merely reducing cost and reining in shadow IT. CIOs and CEOs alike recognize that a simple lift and shift from the data center to the cloud can persist some of the constraints of old architectures and computing models and not deliver the promise of the cloud. As EPAM's Eli Feldman, CTO of Advanced Technology, and Miha Kral, VP of Cloud Strategy, discuss, the conversations at the executive level are turning to how to use the cloud and all that it entails to drive real value for the business. How can enterprises build cloud-native architectures to deliver scalable, elastic, and composable solutions to adapt and evolve to the ever-changing needs of our customers? Can we use the cloud to deliver data at scale and unlock new insights about our customers through machine learning and enable new business models? They end the discussion with a topic on the tips of everyone's tongue today, ChatGPT. What can we do with it? How do technologies like ChatGPT impact huge markets like search? And importantly, what do the outputs of generative models mean in today's definitions of intellectual property? I mean, who really owns it? And lastly, what does the use of generative AI to write code mean for the future of developers? The only way to find out is to listen in.
Eli, it's interesting to see how cloud, as it matured throughout last decade or almost two decades now, it actually went from being a tool for IT organizations and CIOs and actually providing benefits and value to them, and then added all of those additional layers as I would like to have a chat with you. But first, let's focus on that traditional value. When you are talking to clients, what is the first thing that comes to their minds about, you know, cloud and offering value to the organization?
Thanks, Miha. It's an interesting topic and great to be here discussing it. I actually want to go back and say that originally, when cloud sort of just surfaced, it became a very effective tool for the business to quickly achieve their goals with rather maybe like in many cases smaller sort of applications that they could bring to the market very quickly and sort of created that rise to shadow IT that we all very familiar with, etc. And then the IT side of the house decided that, hey, I mean, it's seems like it's catching fire. Let's try to figure out how to rein on all of this cloud capabilities. And it became that IT conversation significantly more, maybe that business conversation at some point. And the challenge to me is to what extent IT sort of reigned too much on the cloud and made it a classic sort of IT compute infra hosting sort of type conversation versus going sort of back to the business value type of the equation.
Yeah, I see it very similarly. Just kind of looking back at the beginning, I would say that initial well-defined and maybe quantifiable, and that's probably a very relevant part of our discussion, how do we quantify the value? But initially, it was mostly about all of the reductors of undesirable things within the business and business of IT. So obvious first one, which also came out with marketing messages of cloud vendors, was all about cost reductions. You know, eliminate the capital expenditure when you go to the cloud. Reduce your OPEX when you go to the cloud. Even avoid excessive cost of running the business when it's idling in the cloud. These were all cost reductors. And then it slowly went into risk reductors, right? You can assure high business availability because your systems are more available in the cloud. And business continuity is so much better when something goes wrong and cloud can give you for a much lower price tag a very decent BCP services. And then for IT, I would say that also a whole bunch of controlling value items that I saw started to come out. If you remember, a decade ago, everyone was complaining about shadow IT, and controlling the shadow IT was one of the core drivers. Moving that to a cloud into a transparent consolidated billing absolutely improved that. It removed the whole kind of a hidden IT that is secretly doing something under somebody's desk. Also, really controlled the unmanaged growth when people did not really know how much they will need and they had to pre-provision ahead of time, hoping that the business is going to catch up when their hardware and VMware is going to be delivered, you know, 8 months from now, because that was the lead time to put something there. But actually, there is one very interesting half IT and half business value add that I saw very early coming in, which is environmental impact. Reducing environmental impact using cloud services is huge. The whole sustainability and actually choosing a cloud vendor or even the specific region that is fueling their data centers only with renewables and so on, and not having your own super hot servers with, you know, water cooling or whatnot in your basement that can heat the whole building. That businesses saw all of those. So literally, I'm listing you my view on the first generation of infrastructure or IT organization focused drivers, business drivers that we were able to capture and present to clients and actually initiate transformation into the cloud. What am I missing? What's on your list from that early era?
It's actually interesting. It's I'll give you an analogy. I had a conversation yesterday and sort of came to mind as something that is depicting quite a bit the current sort of trend. And sort of to preface that, I'll just state that to me, the important part is becoming a cloud, not moving to the cloud. And I'll explain it through the analogy. Imagine you just inherited a house built, whatever, five generations ago in the wilderness of America, somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And it was in the family for this five generations with all of the accumulated stuff in it. But you just bought an apartment in Manhattan on the 68th floor of the newly constructed this metal and glass building, and you're sort of trying to figure out like what to do with the house. And all of a sudden you decide, no, I mean, I love all my stuff in that house so much, I'm going to move it into that apartment. Well, I mean, just let's go through the potential challenges. The furniture will start falling apart when you lift it out of the floor, right? Then, like, you need to shift it, move it, like, whatever, all that way across, like, half of America into Manhattan. Then it probably is not going to fit into the elevators. And then, like, your friends come over and they see all of this antiquated stuff sitting around, and that's probably the last time you see them. Plus, like, the from a conservation perspective and all of that, they will probably pay a lot of attention to the fact that how much energy and everything else you spend on that sort of furniture to be moved around. Now, business has like classic IT has all that furniture sitting around, right? And not necessarily all of that is a great fit for that 68th floor apartment building in Manhattan. So the question becomes, which of the capabilities need to be there? Which of the capabilities make sense to move there? And actually how to become the cloud, meaning like operate in the way cloud intends, that operating model, the new operating model that cloud enables, how to operate in that regard, in this new reality of the cloud, rather than okay, let's just try to fit everything that we have and don't have into that new data center in the sky, quote unquote, regardless of how it's going to work. And the problem is, like as you described, right, all of these promises of it will cost less, it will create less risk, all of that stuff cannot really be realized with all of that furniture from 1800s sitting in the cloud. And the question becomes from a business perspective, right? That the business looks at it completely differently. Business says, okay, I have these customers that are continuously changing their behavior, these customers that expect for me to react the same way that in with the immediacy that they see from Amazon or from Netflix or whoever else, right? The digitally natives, right? And then I have this sort of capabilities that were built like three generations ago that are not really operating in that scalable, elastic environment, like setup where we are capable of evolving, composing our business services, business capabilities on demand very quickly to actually enable our customers to create most benefit for us in this new environment, and frankly create more business, capture more market obviously, and all of that stuff from the business perspective as well. So I think this is sort of the gap that we're trying to bridge.
If I understand you correctly, when you say become the cloud, you are saying that cloud vendors actually came in with a new set of business drivers and imperatives. And as long as business also shifts their own and actually starts to follow those business models and drivers of cloud industry, that actually they can ride that wave on top of what that new industry did. For example, you know, clouds for themselves are very, very hot on expanding to new geographies, and obviously, we see that they expand their own services and products regularly, try to diversify the business. Every single cloud vendor is trying to diversify as much as possible. And so should we, or all of the companies, all of the clients that sit on top of the on top of cloud vendors. For example, using the right approach, and when you use a cloud vendor for your platform, you can easily expand to new geo or stimulate growth or even stimulate productivity, because cloud vendors made that on, for their own reason and purposes, right?
Yeah, at the end of the day, cloud service providers are API providers. And this is, I guess, fundamental in understanding that new ways of working. Starting from like the concept of composable business and ability of business to evolve its capabilities very rapidly, repackage them constantly to meet customer demand, and IT technology, not necessarily IT, but technology overall, meeting that through composable architecture and building platforms that are able to leverage the right set of components from the right set of providers. Cloud or not cloud, cloud is a very broad term in that sense, right? It could be a CSP that allows you to run certain capability, certain, like, let's say compute or lambdas or whatever functions or whatever else as one part of your platform, and then as a service provider somewhere else that is allows you to manage profiles and accounts for users, because that's sort of they're the best platform in that regard, any platform. I'm not talking about specific platform. And then using another service to actually enable some other value add to the business, composing it all together into a platform that can very quickly and effectively address a specific challenge. This is really sort of the nirvana that I think everything goes. And cloud providers in that sense playing a fundamental role. I mean, all of this innovation that happens between the major cloud providers in AWS and Azure in Google, enabling all of this services and sort of endpoints through APIs that you can integrate within your overall business platform capability are fundamentally important. It just they need to be looked as such, not as a data center in the sky that I can throw all my stuff in and magically it will provide me like all of the benefits of that platform at a cheaper cost and less risk and more resiliency and infinite scalability and all of that stuff.
That is actually a really good message that we need to give to clients when we help them to actually, you know, prepare for investment for that pivot. Looking forward in the future, do you see how all of those other future services are going to impact that even further? Everybody talks about the AI services and all of that other, including Quantum that is now available in cloud and so on. What should we expect going forward?
Well, this service has become an imperative sort of an essential component in which businesses can grow, especially like once we start talking about data capabilities. And I mean, like, we can talk about specific sort of innovative data capabilities out there, like whatever ML or specific implementations of ML, whatever that is. But overall, data at scale capabilities, being able to derive business value from this data at scale, is an absolutely essential for a future business to be able to capture value, market, customers, understand sort of underserved areas of the business, understand the areas in the market that are not necessarily captured, or maybe like significantly could overperform other capabilities that they're doing today. It's absolutely essential. And it all has to do with quite significant amounts of data. But what's more important, and it's actually, I think, what's critically forgotten very often, it's not just the amount of data. It's the ability to execute models on that data in a very rapid way, at scale, on a continuous basis, that allows you to hopefully predict some of the trends that are happening within your user base, within your existing business application, or outside of it for future sort of future development purposes, and actually take it to heart. And maybe at some point even convert that into a prescriptive models that will allow you to very dynamically sort of shift your focuses. But like you were talking about sort of the more innovative places, what do you think are the more critical sort of areas, more innovative features that are being released that are most impactful to the business within the next like 12 to 18 months?
So if you're looking at a typical business, and on one side, you need to have a great customer care, you also need to have a very solid product support and a product development. And of course, you want to have that R&D looking forward in the future. What I see is that cloud allows businesses to decouple those usually entangled things and offer just almost like a verticalized parts that in the past we were talking about horizontal integration. Now we're talking more and more about the vertical integration that cloud and the digital assets actually allow us to do much better, because we can capture the data and analyze much better, as you said. We get that infinite amount of, or at least illusion of infinite compute and illusion of infinite storage, illusion of global omnipresence that you can reach to every corner of the world, not just because cloud is everywhere, but also reach of internet and also digital savviness of all of the modern consumers that are out there. So I believe that particularly looking, for example, ChatGPT enablement, a very good business case is how Bing is now suddenly becoming super popular chat engine, just because they actually jumped on that interactive, chatty, AI-enabled bandwagon first. So a whole bunch of new questions and new opportunities. And if I start with questions, for example, the other day I was thinking, asking Bing, which is now fueled by ChatGPT, to give me a recipe for some dish. And literally I'm going, well, I have a carrot and potato and rice. What can I cook? And I got a whole bunch of interesting recipe ideas. And then kind of through the interaction, I at the end decided, you know, these are the ideas. And I actually got inspired and started to cook with that. What I realized is that I didn't see a single ad through that process. Historically, I would go to food.com or God knows where, all of those ad-supported content-generating sites that have food recipes. Now with a chat GPT, with an AI interaction, I saw no ads. So suddenly comes down to a question, what's going to happen to the ad-fueled asset of the industry that was thriving in last 20 years very solidly? What is going to replace it? Are we suddenly going to get, you know, AI-fueled advertisement or product placement or what? But there is a massive amount of rethink that needs to happen, probably in MBA colleges and then in boards. And how do businesses readjust to very new, different set of realities that are all fueled? If you're looking from a bottom up, all that actually just started by selling fractions of time on servers in cloud data centers and then building complex services on top and building businesses on top. And here we are, right?
Yeah, and it's, I mean, not expert in ads at all. But I think what's interesting is all of these conversations about, like, for instance, as you mentioned, ChatGPT as a chat capability. It's really, it's not even the top of the iceberg. It's just like that tip at the very top of the very top of the iceberg. One of the functions sort of that is enabled by GPT-3 or GPT-4, upcoming GPT-4, and similar models out there. I think what is interesting to see in development in this space is, in reality, all of these capabilities are just another, but I don't want to underemphasize it. It's a super important sort of next generation gateway to information. And I mean that in a very specific sense. Like, let's say in the past, the notion of enterprise search, for instance, right? All of this information discovery capabilities that were in the enterprise. And I mean, it's probably equally applicable to the internet at large as well. We're all like simplistically search driven. Yes, I mean, the search capabilities were quite advanced in terms of relevance and like sort of convergence and like all of these other methods that were used to give you the right information. But I think with this more advanced models that can create rather complex relationships between information assets, right? It's not just here's a list of all of the things that are relevant, but in reality, here's the answer that is sourced from dozens or hundreds or millions sometimes of data sources within an organization or, again, the internet. Like the example of recipes, I mean, some of these recipes were probably just composition of sort of sub recipes from several different areas that ChatGPT connected for you, or being connected for you in that case. This is where it becomes super, super interesting. And in a sense, it becomes an area where monetization, quote unquote, again, in the enterprise, it's slightly different, but monetization can be essentially made into a marketplace of what needs to be promoted at any given point in time, right? How do I give the users the information that would be most relevant from my perspective as an enterprise at this point in time, rather than just a generic sort of list of answers to their question?
Correct. The question is, how are business leaders going to get ready for that? So that whole change management aspect, because cheese is moving again, right? For people that never read the book, Who Moved My Cheese? It's really recommended. But how do we help execs to get ready again for probably third or fourth business transformations in their career?
Well, I mean, it's nothing changes under the sun, in a sense, right? It's all the same sort of education. It's experimenting with specific use cases. And by the way, this is true for the beginning of our discussion as well. I believe personally, very strongly actually, that move becoming a cloud, the same as becoming data-driven and all of that stuff, is a sequence of experimentations that needs to be done within important scope of work, strategic solutions, strategic directions, where we need to take some ideas that are born within the organization, embrace them, prototype them, MVP them, make sure that they deliver value, and actually get them to the market. And then, based on that, these examples, based on the successes, actually start to extrapolate throughout the organization. And the extrapolation, in that sense, again, it's relatively straightforward. Some of it is simply education, right? We gain the success in being data-driven in one part of the organization, in one capability or something like that. Let's see how we can map that to other capabilities, other executives within the organization. Let's sort of start to figure out, like, what's the maturity across the different aspects of the organization. Maturity, I don't mean maturity like in just nominal form. Okay, let's start tracking maturity, but rather, okay, we see the difference. We see an opportunity, let's say, in an organization that is doing well in commerce, right? In terms of ML, in terms of like all of this new capabilities, can we start applying that, let's say, to their supply chain components, right? Let's identify one area, like where it might be the most efficient. Let's figure out who of the executives and leaders in that area is supportive and actually capable of driving that experiment within, not holistic transformation, but one experiment within their area of business, and make it work and then scale it out with them. I think this is the only way to sort of gradually evolve these organizations. And I actually don't really see an alternative. I mean, hate the notion of boiling the ocean, pardon for the rhymes there, but it's really not going to work with the current progress because once you're trying to boil the ocean, you have the chilling effect of new technology constantly sort of getting it to a lower temperature rather than allowing you to actually raise the temperature enough. Hope that makes sense.
Clearly, we are heading to, you know, another very exciting times, probably will require another set of rotation of executives for the new generation. And the cycle continues, I think. Cloud definitely is playing already for a while extremely important role to provide higher value in shorter time, higher quality. But very much most of the consumer world and enterprise world is expecting these days what used to be, you know, just a fad in the past, and it was almost like using it as a jewelry. You know, we have a website out there, and then it became a captive service that you have to do it, and now is actually part of the mandatory business imperative. So most of the businesses now are software businesses, no matter what their primary industry is. That was great, yeah. Ali. Any last thoughts that you would recommend?
I actually wanted to ask you a question. Remember, we had the conversation about the impact of that on the software engineering sort of part of it, right? I mean, we're talking about as two technologists, right? Two software engineers talking about like other businesses. It's very interesting. But I'm curious sort of your perspective on how it impacts the software engineering profession, the coder profession, the programmer profession, with all of these new capabilities?
Well, that, obviously, we are immediately going to bump into ethics and, you know, what is yours when it comes to intellectual property and what is not. Because obviously, now we are getting to an era where content creation and coding is the arty content creation, right? We make dreams come true when we engineer new stuff. How smart can tools be that you can still claim that this is yours and not just creation of, you know, intelligent automation? Can you use, already in the past when we use the traditional templatized search-based catalogs of snippets, and lots of people were saying, oh, you're just putting snippets together, that is not really coding, you are just stitching prefabricated snippets of code together. But it was still coding, and we went through quite nicely. Now, with all of those new approaches, and especially if you're looking at that latest generation of AI chatbots, I see more and more developers use that daily as a very easy, short, wired tool. They don't need to know exact syntax anymore. How exactly do you call a method within a class with the right parameters and with the right catch statement around it? Because you can ask that mundane construct, can come straight out from an AI, and with almost no modification, you can copy-paste it straight in your code. But it gets now even better or worse if you want to. So you can suddenly go and start to ask and say, I don't know, write me a C-sharp class that looks just like Python pandas frames do, and do that for optimization purposes with span as a construct instead of array, and I want to use tuples in there and so on. And the system does it for you. It is already on the level of, let's say, college graduate that enters and senior developers use them for helpers. So what I'm trying to say is that the bar of what good coding is going to get much, much higher. It's no longer just going to be how many lines of code with, you know, low defects, with low bugs are you producing per day, or is a Sonar Cube going to create too many smell tests on your code when you submit it? All of that traditional criteria of what a good coder is, what fast coding really means, it's, I think, just a new approach to what we always wanted to get to, that like a fourth generation of software development tools that just magically make code on behind. I think that we are still going to stay on a source code, and there are more and more languages out there to express that art of making a system. But smartness of the systems that support coding is getting so high that I believe that it's going to be a longer cycle to turn somebody that is just dabbling in source and playing around and making a little, you know, GitHub projects to become a fully functional enterprise class developer with all of those tools. So to give you an analogy, if we used to build houses with little hand saws and hammers and stuff like that, and now suddenly you get power tools and you get excavators with all of the hydraulics and all of that, this is no longer the same carpentry, right? It's a completely different profession. You can build skyscrapers, but if you are only trained on hammers and handsaws, you have no idea how much damage you can do with an excavator.
Yeah, so we can safely say that sort of engineering and architecture are sort of safe all the time. They adapt to this new realities of cloud and data, etc. But the classic sort of coding, as you're saying, it's probably will be continuously shifting toward machine generated rather than human generated. Is that did I understand correctly?
Correct. So intelligence embedded into everything. So in every tool that coder is going to use is going to be smart, is going to have some AI component or ML component. But what I also believe is that all of our products that we are going to put out will have ML and AI component. So, and again, the same cycle of hype, I believe, is going to follow. You know, first, engineering companies are going to say, hey, everything we create has an AI inside. You know, we're going to talk about AI everything until we find out what is the right way to combine humans and machines together so that automation and artificial intelligence, it needs to properly augment humans, not replace, but augment. And I'm talking first development process, but also our products, what comes out from our engineering factory.
Right. And if we sort of cycle back to the beginning of the conversation, this probably becomes sort of a third leg of a modern cloud developer, where like the first leg is cloud skills.
The second leg is that cloud native, so modern architectures. And the third is actually cloud ML augmented engineering capabilities as well, which is, again, like fundamentally enabled by the cloud and quite significantly changing the way we operate sort of as engineering organizations for the immediate run, actually.
Excellent. Eli, always a pleasure chatting with you. Future is exciting, and trying to see around the corner is as exciting as well.
Absolutely. Thank you, Micha.
This has been Silo Busting, a podcast from EPAM Continuum. EPAM Continuum integrates business, experience, and technology consulting focused on accelerating breakthrough ideas into meaningful impact. Why do we do this? Because real opportunities aren't siloed. Thanks to Eli Feldman and Micha Kral for the great conversation. And none of this gets done without our amazing production team. Kip Pilalis, our sound engineer extraordinaire, for getting this podcast recorded, and Ken Gordon, our producer, for all his masterminding behind the scenes. I'm your host, Glenn Gruber, or maybe I'm just a character created by generative AI.